And good afternoon. Welcome into Market Talk for this Wednesday, January 20th, 2021. A good afternoon to you. Thank you for joining us here today on the show. I am your host, Jesse Allen. And Market Talk, you can find us online, markettalkag.com. That is where you can find us, our home on the web, markettalkag.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's all at Market Talk Ag, and many of our great radio affiliates across the country at the Alpha Media Farm Network, now joined by the American Ag Network as well. A lot of great folks across the country are part of the Market Talk family. Well, let's look at these markets today. You know, overall, we climbed back out of the lows, but still watching some technical corrections, it looks like, in the market trade. Joining us to talk more about it, Mike Zuzlow with Global Commodity Analytics is our guest today on Market Talk. And Mike, great to have you back on once again. How's things going with you?
Doing well, Jesse, but I'm getting a little bit nervous because it seems like when we get on, the market corrects. So I think people are going to start thinking that whenever Wednesday rolls around or middle of the week rolls around, it's going to be a down day.
Well, we're hoping we can break that trend, but you are exactly right, though, at least with today. And looking at yesterday and looking at this overall picture, I want to start with where we were in the overnight trade Wednesday. I mean, we were down some 30 cents in beans. Corn was not looking good. Funds were selling off contracts. But then we found a little bit of support somewhere, and we managed to kind of claw our way back and grind off those lows. What did you see in this market at the close that helped us kind of grind away at some of those heavy losses?
Well, and I think this is one of those periods where it may be useful to watch these next couple days, and this may not just be a short-term phenomenon, and it may actually help us in the longer term. And what I'm getting at is we've talked about supply-led markets versus demand-led markets in that 2007-2008 model that I keep running for the soybeans. And I think this week's price action, Wednesdays especially, and even Tuesdays in the soy meal, which kind of led us to the top and put a high in first, which makes sense fundamentally. We're seeing the market react, I think, finally to that idea of where is the drought in Brazil, because Data Grow, a private firm, analytical firm, came out with a Brazilian soybean production number of almost 136 million metric tons. That would be 10 million more than last year, and that's 3 million more than USDA's freshened up update here that we just got a week ago. So I think we have finally turned back towards the supply side of the equation. And I think this is supportive of the idea and the analysis that I've been pushing to clients and subscribers that this is a supply-led market, because we finally got rain in Brazil and we've gotten some higher numbers from a standpoint of production. StoneX came out Wednesday. I think they probably helped bring some floors underneath these prices because they came in under 133 million metric tons. So they came in underneath the USDA recent projection. I will note also, Jesse, I think it's real important to watch not only the $450 a ton level in the soy meal as a place where we need to get back up above, technically speaking, but also these support lines that we're hitting now with Wednesday's low in the Globex session of around 1345, 1350 in March beans. Those are important levels because those could uncover some sell stops and turn the momentum negative and carve us into a deeper break, a deeper correction. So I'm not sure it's over yet. I think the weekly export sales will help us a lot. One last thing on the Data Grow numbers was that they actually took the corn number down substantially, I think around 3 million tons, and they took it down below 110 million metric tons. So you and I have talked about how in both Argentina and Brazil, it seems like the corn crop has been hit harder production-wise than the soybeans. I think that's still a real good way to plan out your marketing, assuming that is still the case.
And a lot of great insight there. And I'm looking, at corn specifically here, Mike. And we were pretty long in corn coming into this week, and now starting this correction. And it seems like, we're seeing it across the entire market, but specifically in corn, it seems like a lot of funds are starting to kind of shore up some of those longs that are out there in that market.
Yes, and this is coming off of a week also. Not only do you have a record number of longs, at least as I can see, we're definitely above the 2012 highs as far as managed money longs in futures and options, but we're also coming off a very sharp rally in the ethanol market, and that really concerns me because the margins, it's almost like the futures market and the cash market are diverging. and they're breaking apart in terms of what's driving them. And that whenever something like that happens, whether it's up on one and down on the other, doesn't matter. That just doesn't, I don't like that when they diverge like that, especially I think the ending days of the Trump administration with the EPA confusion and possible issues with biofuel refining and the mandate of the RFS, and then the new Biden administration and what his clean energy climate change policy is going to be, especially this first 100 days. I don't like the fact that the futures and the ethanol was rallying sharply and we have this kind of length in the fund. So while I still think corn has the better look to it from an export and substitution and the lack of competition out there that we've talked about a lot, I am more concerned about the domestic policies, especially with USDA taking down the ethanol number again in their report last week. And so I think corn, bottom lining it out for you, corn I think is going to be a follower. It won't break much if the beans don't break. It won't break much if the wheat doesn't break. But I think if those other two want to go lower, I think corn willingly will, and those funds will get on the side of lightening their positions.
Now, on one brighter note, I would say, you know, you mentioned exports a little bit. I'm hearing some rumors of maybe a little Chinese interest in some U.S. beans and corn out in the Pacific Northwest, and maybe that gave us some underlying support. Are you hearing any rumors to that effect as far as some of those exports and maybe getting another solid week of exports, even though I know Wednesday's wire was pretty quiet?
Yeah, no, I am. And I, you know, I think it's worth noting that we still have about a $10 plus price in Chinese corn futures right now. And here we are sitting at $5 in the lead month futures. And so I think it's really important to keep in mind that the export side of the equation should be very favorable for the corn market, maybe the most favorable because of what the Russians did go ahead and increase their wheat tax. The Ukrainian and wheat prices and Russian wheat prices jumped dramatically right after that news hit. That's only going to help the corn side of the equation in the Baltic and in Europe. And we're very competitive against the European French corn prices and some of the others we traditionally compete against. I think the other thing about the Pacific Northwest would make sense from a standpoint of the market knowing that Brazil is delayed in Brazilian harvest. And so we're probably 20 days later than normal. And I think the Chinese probably would be sniffing out for February shipment, especially after the Lunar New Year holiday, so that they don't get caught without ships on the way when they come back, because Brazil is running dry in terms of lack of available exports. This brings up the issue of the Argentine strike. I thought I'd be on the air with you this week saying, oh, it's all over with, but it's not. And I'm hearing now that there is enough roadblocks in Argentina right now that only about 10% of the trucks are getting to the ports to be loaded. So instead of 3,000 trucks a day at major ports, they're getting about 300 trucks a day are numbers that I'm hearing. So that will play a role in our cash market as well.
And it'll be something we'll have to watch. And you know, I've been talking with some producers around the country and looking at basis. And I mean, basis is still good. And I talked to one producer early this week and he said, you know, I think it was yesterday, actually, with the correction in the bean market yesterday. And he said, you know, hey, I look at it, I'm locked in, you know, and I still got some ownership. And, you know, even if this market, you know, look at the basis level right now, and we're down, but, you know, I'm still making good money. And I think overall, we need to keep that in mind, is that a lot of these producers, they still have a lot of great profit opportunity, even if we are seeing a technical correction right now.
That's absolutely right. And I think the other thing it really goes back to is that if you are wanting higher prices, that's fine, but you've got to pick a price to sell at and you've got to stick with it. And one of the things that I learned a long time ago, as the market fluctuates and changes and it changes your opinion because you get more bullish or more bearish, is say I wanted to sell corn at $5, it gets to $5, all of a sudden I want to move it to $5.50 and I want to call my broker, I want to call my elevator and I want to move my order up. Well, what I try to get people to do, and I do this myself, is maybe I move up part to $5.50, but I keep that original $5 sell in for at least part of the bushels. Maybe I cut the number in half of what I want to sell. Or on this bean break right now, I've got a commercial client that has been wanting to get back into the beans, and we're thinking about getting back into the beans, but maybe we cut those numbers down. Maybe we do half now up against this trend line, but we wait to do the other half until the end of the week to see if the trend lines hold. I think that's really good risk management, because then you can handle the margin. And we have to go on record here and say at this point, in my opinion, that we're really seeing margins go up almost every day at this stage. And based upon my experience, Jesse, whenever I see margins go up dramatically, that tends to signal a pause or the end of a major rally. And the opposite is true. Whenever the Merck tends to cut margins and reduce margins, I think they're in that by default encourages psychologically more longs to get into the market instead of shorts, because it's typical that we don't see margins go down unless the market's low in price. We don't see the margins go up unless prices are really rallying. So it kind of works in opposite direction in terms of the market psychology. That's based upon my experience. I don't have any physical hard data that would suggest that's the case, but it sure seems that way to me based upon 25 years of doing this.
Well, that expertise, definitely something that I think we need to take into account, and we'll be curious to see what happens the rest of this week and whether or not this really is a pause in this bull market rally. Let's look over at livestock here, Mike. I want to start with hog markets today. We did see some good strength in hog markets after a little bit of a pause on Tuesday. It seemed to kind of, you know, just be a frustrating day Tuesday, but Wednesday we found some support. We kind of got back here, good numbers and cutout values in the cash market. But still, at the end of the day, we're just churning through a lot of hogs still. Anything new and exciting after today that gives you maybe any optimism in this hog market?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit on the nose with that cutout value. It's back up around 81.75. I think the January high on a daily close was around 83, 83.50, somewhere around there. We're real close to making a new 2021 high in the cutout, and it's due to both the bellies and the hams coming along. And that's really kind of odd for this time of the year and impressive, quite frankly. So I think between that and also I continue to hear more PRRS and even in areas that I did not know that there were outbreaks going on. I've talked to two clients just this week, and I should say one was a media colleague that was in South Dakota. And then I talked to a client in Northwestern Ohio that we talked about that at length in both conversations. And so I really think that the back end markets especially probably have more up in them than what we're giving them credit for, because I think as we get through the month of February, we're going to find out that those breeding inventory numbers and those sows did not really come off with very many piglets. And we're going to see that start to appear, I think, as we go down the road. So I'm not a bear in the hog market, and I can't be when I see how close a relationship that cattle and hog market continues to work. And what surprised me the most and impressed me the most, quite frankly, Jesse, of the hog market on Wednesday's trade and seeing that almost $2 rally was in the face of a break in the soybeans. And so the funds that look over at the soybeans that trade that pork and bean trade, they didn't get scared out of the hog market by the soybeans. And so I think the hogs have some stability to them here. If not, maybe the February won't want to go up towards that $72 level as it gets ready to go off the board.
Well, I at least was happy to see with that February contract, 195 higher on Wednesday, 68.42. We got back above that $68 mark. So at least that was a good thing for Wednesday. Now over in the cattle market, feeder cattle markets trying to take advantage of some of these lower corn prices. Fat cattle market was fairly mixed on the trade today. What are you seeing out in feedlot country right now?
Well, there's a lot of feeders out there right now that are going into either the pen or they're getting marketed as feeders and they're backgrounded as feeders. And so, I mean, we have an ample supply and a lot of clients have called in relating to that. Buying interest is very heavy right now, which doesn't surprise me in one way because we've had a mild winter in feedlot country and in calf country. But by the same token, with these high feed prices, maybe the producers out there, the cattlemen, are thinking that the corn price will break by the time they actually have to send the calves into the lot. Feeders, I think, are well priced right now. I don't think they're high and I don't think they're low. I think the key to watch in the feeders is we're getting ready to see the January go off the board. It is tracking pretty closely with the feeder cattle index, 132, 134. They're about $2 apart from one another. Note the March feeders, though, trading at 137, 138. So we need to see the cash and the cash index jump relatively soon if that March is going to hold that premium. Fat cattle, a lot easier, I think, to understand because we're still tracking near an 11-month high even though we haven't seen much cash trade. What would cause that? Well, I did some studies for my newsletter last weekend and noticed that on a 12-week basis, fat cattle futures and the S&P 500 stock market are running almost a 90% positive correlation right now with one another. So we can see pretty directly, I think, in that metric, if the equities are making new record highs like they did on Wednesday, it's going to at least support the fat cattle market. So I think that's where the equities market really has been helping a lot in the fat cattle, and seeing the June fat cattle with the April leading it up, but April getting to 120 and the June getting up to 116, that's really getting me eager to get some hedges in place for the summertime if I can get a little bit higher on the June.
When you mentioned equities, and I think that might be a good spot for us to wrap up today. We got a new administration here sworn in today. And like you mentioned, some of those record highs and equities looking fairly strong. The dollar still kind of hold around that 90 mark. But overall, anything equity-wise, macroeconomic-wise that you see that might be beneficial to this grain and livestock market moving forward?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked, because I do deal with the S&P futures quite a bit and the bond futures quite a bit with clients, and I'm really eager to get some puts bought in the S&P 500, and I do that in the E-minis because they're a good contract for producers and for people that want to hold on to their asset values. But two things. I think President Biden wants a $1.9 trillion stimulus bill. I think the stock market's pricing that in right now. We better see that come by mid-February. The second thing is the higher minimum wage. If he wants a $15 minimum wage, I don't know how that's not going to hurt the real economy, given the COVID and given that we haven't gotten through this pandemic yet. And so I think the stock market, as soon as we see that being passed, I think the stock market is going to have to take a pause about what's this going to do to the real economy and the jobs and the unemployment numbers. So those are the two things that I think are the most important. And I would target that mid-February time period for when maybe the patience runs out in the equities markets. And that's kind of where I'm gearing up to get some March S&P mini puts bought potentially for some clients.
Well, globalcomresearch.com. It's com with two M's. You could find Mike there. And I know as well, Mike, if folks go to your website, they can find your phone number and also great information that you put out weekly as well.
Well, thank you, Jesse. And it's great to be with you again this week.
Yeah, it's great to always have you with us here. Mike Zuzulo with Global Commodity Analytics. Find him again online, globalcomresearch.com. This has been Market Talk for Wednesday, January 20th. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Have a great afternoon.